In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. I encourage you today at your leisure to take a look at the stations of Luke throughout the room, but particularly in the back southeast corner of the church at the depiction of the presentation. Luke tells us that it was time for Joseph and Mary to leave Bethlehem and to go to Jerusalem. According to Jewish custom, Mary, like all women, would have gone for her ritual purification 40 days after giving birth, which is why today's feast falls on the 40th day of Christmas. While in Jerusalem at the temple for Mary's purification by offering a pair of turtle doves or pigeons, Mary and Joseph also present Jesus as their firstborn son. You see, it was required by Jewish law that the firstborn male be given to the temple for priestly service. However, if parents from non-priestly families essentially wanted to buy back their sons from this duty, it could be done for 5 silver shekels. Since Mary is from the royal tribe of Judah and not the priestly tribe of Aaron, by Jewish law, Mary and Joseph must buy Jesus back from priestly service in the temple. Luke's gospel shows that on one hand, Joseph and Mary are devout in their faith and dutiful to Jewish laws and customs. And simultaneously, on the other hand, in the larger framework of salvation history, Luke shows us that Mary and Joseph are willing supporters of God's divine purpose in Jesus Christ, who Simeon calls the light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. The Holy Spirit has revealed to Simeon that he will not die until he has seen the Lord's Messiah. His name has the same root as Shema, which is to hear or to listen in Hebrew. And Jesus and his parents enter the temple. Simeon was led there also and immediately recognized Jesus as the Lord's Messiah. Simeon took the young Jesus in his arms and he says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel." Here in this oracle-like song of praise, Simeon recognizes that Jesus is the long-awaited Savior, and this Savior is the light to a very dark world. Simeon's song teaches us that salvation is not our own doing, but is the very will of God. It also teaches us that God's salvation is universal in scope. It's for everyone in the world. He's saying that the good news of God in Jesus Christ is not limited to any one group. Also, Simeon teaches that God's delivery of salvation brings glory to Israel, not as privileged possessors of God's favor, but rather as God's chosen people through whom God has worked to bring forth salvation. Simeon blesses the Holy Family and then says something rather eerie to Mary. He says, "This child will be destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." At Christmas, we joyfully proclaim Christ's birth, and everything seems so happy and cheery. As human beings, we know that life is not always like that. And as Christians, we know the rest of Jesus' story. We know that he goes on to proclaim the profound message of God's love and God's coming kingdom that eventually results in his crucifixion, which is what Simeon foretells when he says to Mary, "A sword shall pierce your own soul too." It is all part of God's saving deeds of mercy and love, despite our resistance and rejection of God's love made alive in Christ. Though seemingly silent, we also see Anna, the only woman called a prophet in the New Testament. And she sees all of this. She is like all the great women in God's plan of salvation. She stands in line with Miriam and Deborah, Huldah, the daughters of Job, and Judith. And like them, Anna is speaking and doing the will of God. She is a widow and has basically lived in the temple praying and fasting since the death of her husband. Anna was among the first evangelists, praising God and speaking about the child to everybody she encountered, all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. We know her father's name, Phanuel, means face of God, and her tribal name of Asher means rejoice. Her seeing Jesus in the temple is an unfolding of her identity as one who rejoices in seeing the face of God. While we do not have her words recorded, she stands among the evangelists telling everyone about what she has seen and what God is doing. The great irony in the whole story of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, of course, is that Mary and Joseph go dutifully to pay the ransom to redeem their son, who is the redeemer of the world. They redeem him from a lifetime of service as a priest to the Lord, when in fact he has come as the great high priest who offers the one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It only cost Joseph 5 silver shekels, but for Jesus it is the price of his very life. By the payment of the 5 silver shekels, the world's redeemer is redeemed. This image foreshadows the great mystery. Just as the priest hands the infant Jesus back to Joseph, returning him to the life of his earthly family, so having paid the price for our redemption on the cross, Jesus returns from the tomb as the bearer of eternal life for all who become the new family in the kingdom of God. In this season of Epiphany, we now celebrate that Jesus has been revealed to us as the light of the world and the glory of his people. All of the stories we hear this season are how Jesus has come to us revealed as the Son of God. One of the major themes of Epiphany is light, as seen in the star which leads the Magi to Bethlehem, and Simeon seeing Jesus as the light to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. However, we see today the darker side of the Christmas story. We hear in Simeon's words to Mary about how a sword will pierce her own soul, and an understanding that God's faithful and loving purposes will be opposed by many, and that God's love will be refused in Jesus' crucifixion. This is the foretold prophecy of Simeon. This will be crushing to Mary and all who know Jesus as the light of the world. This time for us in Epiphany is a liminal space. As Christians on this side of Easter, we know the full story. This feast of Candlemas hovers in the darkness of midwinter between the birth of Jesus and his death. It is fitting and appropriate that this feast, which celebrates the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus, should also include the celebration of Jesus as the light of the world. Moments ago, we blessed our candles as a reminder that we too are recipients of Christ's light and stewards of that flame. We would do well to remember, however, that this light is not our own, but it is a gift from Christ himself, and we are to share this gift of his light with the world. We need the light of Christ in our world now more than ever. This light from Christ exposes what is hidden in darkness. As Simeon puts it, the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. This light shows us what is true and what is hidden by the darkness. In our own day, in our own nation, we see the truth being hidden and tortured in the darkness of lies and to the detriment of our society and democracy. As overwhelming as it can be, we must continue to shine Christ's light in the dark places. And when we come together and stand side by side, the light magnifies and the truth is revealed. Christ's light will always overcome the darkness. But the forces of wickedness will always try to scare us, always try to shame us into hiding Christ's light. But we have to continue to work together and share his light and his good news with a world that's desperate for transformation and liberation and honesty. We see in today's feast that Jesus is the light to the nations and he is the glory of God's holy people. He is our hope and our joy. Politicians and politics are never going to save us. When guided by good, they can certainly help us build a more just society. But politics will never, ever save us, So never be fooled by that. That is a false hope. Jesus is our hope, and he is the light of the world. With his light and his love shining within us together, his light is magnified and spread far and wide as the long-awaited hope for the peoples of the earth. That is God's faithful promise, and it is our only hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.